Blog Talk Radio.
God has not forgot. God has not forgot. God has not forgot. God has not forgot. If he said that he would do it, it will come to pass. God has not forgot. God has not forgot. Can you help us say?
Great morning. Welcome in this Blog Talk Radio. I see we have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to actually be on mute, but in a couple of minutes, I'm going to open up the line so you can talk to Dr. Jennifer Gilbert. So I will be coming back to you guys in a minute. I have some, if you're looking for a promotion, advertisement, commercial, your interviews for Radio Spins. Maybe it might be for your event, your business, maybe your author or life coach. This is a perfect platform to be in. This is a global platform, so you have people from Ghana, Morocco, India, Nigeria, Canada, Trinidad, Europe, United States. That's actually listening to this global platform, and I think it's a good way to grow your business. And if you, you know, have books or what kind of business, it to expand it out beyond the United States. So if it's interested in coming on my show, you can reach me at focus@gmail.com. Blog Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon as Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. Now, we have a, I had a young lady that was on my show last week. She is person, the author of the stage play Death of a Lie. She actually wrote the book Death of a Lie. She has her stage play that's going to be Saturday at the 2 p.m. And the address is 56 Belmont Park North, and that's in Daytona, Ohio. So make sure you come out and, you know, get your ticket and go out and see the play. Let's let her do that. It's very inspirational to me. So she actually got her way across the principal and a life coach, and I mean, she, this lady had a lot of stuff going on, so very inspirational. So if you're interested in either, you know, in either getting her book, The Death of a Lie, or even going to her stage play, she actually donated 100 tickets to the foster care system that's in Dayton, Ohio. I thought that was pretty cool. That is, that will be held this Saturday, our institution. Address is 456 Belmont Park, and that's Daytona, Ohio. I have a guest today, Jennifer Gilbert. She is the founder of the Mission, that's the Bible, 365. I'm this name is Jennifer.
Good morning.
We got connected with Jennifer. Born in no local family, overcoming very serious and personal issues. We're going to talk about that. She answered her call to God in, at the tender age of 9, but due to a pressure of pain, she didn't talk to her college in 2000. So, I'm going to take a quick break right quick because Ms. Jennifer actually got knocked off the line. I'm going to play a song right quick so I can get her back on the line, and so we'll be right back.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say no weapon.
Weapons formed against us. I had to quick break right quick because Ms. Jennifer, I got knocked out of time. Ms. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to Focus this Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I did go over a little bit about you. I basically talked about where you were born and raised, and you were raised by a military family.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Let me ask you, did you want to or something, or did you, your parents?
Say that one more time. You're breaking up. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. Were you in foster care, or were you raised, or was that your family that was in the military?
That was my family. Yeah, my dad was in the military. Right, yeah, my dad was in the military. So I was born in Oklahoma, but I was raised in Europe, but I was reared in Georgia. But all of my family is from right here in Texas.
Okay, you're from Texas. Okay.
Yes.
I'm Georgia.
Right, yeah. No, ma'am, I'm right here in Texas.
Tell us about Ms. Dr. Jennifer Gilbert that I haven't mentioned.
Oh, wow. There's so very much. I am Dr. Jennifer Gilbert, as you so eloquently said. I am a mother of two adult children, a grandmother of two toddlers. God bless my soul in this holiday time. In addition to that, I'm also an educator as well as an entrepreneur. As well as a community activist, an actress, a singer. I mean, I pretty much do a little bit of everything. Make sure my life don't get boring.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Do you have
yes.
any music
everything but a wife.
Right.
I'm sorry? Yes.
Do you have
everything
any music
but a wife. I do. I have a total of 4 music CDs out, and I have a total of 9 books.
Oh, wow. Well,
yes,
I would love some music.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll definitely send that in to you. Yes, we're actually preparing to send. We're releasing a new single in January, and it's called Just Be You. And it's really like an homage to break the chains of religiosity as we know it and just be who you are, because that's, you know, God loves you and he made you, so he knew who you were before you even formed, right? And so now this is a celebration of you walking into who you really are, being authentically who you are, being delivered from people and their perceptions and their opinions, and just celebrating how much God loves you as an individual.
Amen. Amen. I like that. I'm excited. I want to make sure I get a copy and listen to it and play it on the radio sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, we were, when I was reading a little bit about you, let me see where I was at. You were mentioning that you had a calling when you were 9 years old.
Yeah, I was actually called at the age of 7, and I didn't know, you know, at the age of 7, naturally, I didn't know what that was, but I knew, I just kept hearing, you know, God calling me, but I didn't know what he was, you know, what he was saying, so I went to my pastor, and I told him, and now I'm in, you know, I'm in the South, I'm 7 years old, I'm black, and I'm a female, and so in those days, that was unheard of. And so I went to him, and I told him, and he explained to me that that was God's calling on my life, and so I wasn't able to preach because I was young and it wasn't acceptable. And so what he did is he allowed me to, like, teach, you know, Bible school and stuff like that to still kind of curtail that calling. And so it wasn't until I went to Europe and then at the age of 9 where they were like, oh, you know, that's cool. I still didn't preach too much, but I was able to, you know, really walk out into my calling. And so after a while, I just allowed myself to sit and soak under, you know, some really powerful men and women of God and get to know who I was first, and then I started, you know, really active in my calling.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One of my bucket list places to go is Europe.
Okay.
I haven't,
you'll love it.
I haven't been there yet, but I'm on my way. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, yes. Listen, don't stay too long because, you know, over there we don't have speed limits. And so when I got to America, I used that for a long time. I'm sorry. I wasn't raised here, so I was raised in Europe, and we don't have speed limits. So, yeah, it worked for a little while. After a while, it didn't work too much anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was at that time. I was doing 100 miles an hour.
Right. Wow. Yeah. It's... Yeah, you over there, you drive on the Autobahn, and so that's what it's called. The highway is called an Autobahn, and you literally, you know, going 65 there, you'll get ran over. So, you know, coming here and driving, it was just totally different.
Wow. When did you come to the United States?
I came back to the United States to stay in 1985, I think. No, I'm sorry. No, it was later than that. It was 19-something. I can't even remember. But it was the late 1900s. And then I moved to Texas in 1997 because I wanted to get to know my family. I never knew my family because we were always traveling. And so after my mom passed away, I decided to, you know, come to Texas. I wanted my kids to know both sides of their family, which was something that I never had. So I didn't get to know my family until I was an adult.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of happened with me, too,
right.
On my
father's
side. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes it's understandable, you know.
Right, yeah. So I admire people who are, you know, born and raised in the same place and all that. And I remember as a kid, I would say, oh, you know what, when I get big, I'm never moving because I'm going to have friends and I'm going to be normal. And I think
right.
I move more as an adult now than I did as a kid.
Wow.
Yes.
I know
yes.
The military, they're definitely having you shipping all over the place for sure.
Yes, exactly. And now I travel, you know, for a living, touring and doing all these different things. I've taught overseas. So I went back to Europe, actually, to give back. And I taught overseas in Europe and China, in Africa, in Turkey, and in Italy. And so it was very, you know, it was very interesting. But I'm trying now to, you know, kind of settle down. I got grandkids. I don't want to leave my babies. And, you know, so now I'm trying to stay put.
Well, the next time you travel, make sure you pack me in one of your suitcases.
Gotcha. Absolutely gotcha. Gotcha. Yes.
Well, I know you said due to oppression of a man and their opinions, you didn't have your full calling in 2002.
Right.
Do you mind talking about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, I was raised Baptist. When I was born, my mom was attending a Baptist church. Well, when we went to Europe, they don't have, quote unquote, Baptist church. Everything is either Catholic, Protestant, or Pentecostal. And so my mom was a music lover. So we went to whatever church had the greatest choir. So, you know, again, you know, being an African-American female, that was two strikes against me. And the third strike was the fact that I wasn't even 12 years old. And so it was hard for people to take me seriously. They could take the singing seriously. That was great. They could take the teaching seriously. That was amazing, because it's like, oh, my gosh, she has a vocabulary and she talks and she's articulate and all that. But when it came to preaching behind the pulpit, it was forbidden. And they would always use the scripture, oh, you know, women ought to be silent in the church and all of these things. And so I allowed their opinions, their traditions, their perceptions of me as a female, as an African-American, and as a child to basically box me in until I became, you know, until I became liberated.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that kind of, explain it that way, that kind of make me think about when I read about your famous quote. And if you want to talk about your quote quick, because it's kind of not really what happened, that makes sense when it comes to your famous quote.
Right, which is, there is power in perseverance through painful persecution. And basically, you know, I, not only was I a military brat that was raised all over the world, I had this great calling on my life, but then, you know, my mom and my dad divorced. My mom was married three times, and she divorced all of them. And she and I didn't have the best relationship. And so I was abused from my childhood all the way through adulthood because I thought abuse was normal. And so, you know, it wasn't until I realized who I was and that I had to push through people's perception of me. I had to push through, you know, the things that they said about me. You know, when I got pregnant at the age of 16 with my first child, and they would always say, oh, you're never going to finish high school. You're never going to go to college. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. And so for a long time, I believed that. But then after a while, when my mother passed away, that gave me that push that says, you know what, I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to do what it is that I want to do. I'm going to reach my goals, and I just literally pushed through. Now, was it easy? No. Was it painful? Absolutely. Was I persecuted because I'm a teen mom, I'm an African-American, I'm a preacher, I'm a singer, I'm doing all of these things? I still pushed through it. And so that is where I believe that that's where the power came from, is because I feel like if I can get through that, I can get through anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I never understood why people, even family, would talk so bad. I really, really love you. Why do you talk so bad? Correct that they're going. I never understood why people do that, but they said that's love.
Right, and I think a lot of it is ignorance. You know, because I didn't know my family, I didn't know where my mom. I knew my family as in like their names and stuff, and we would see them every 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years. But I never knew the backstory of my family. And so a lot of the oppression that we have went through in our lives came from ignorance. So I had to make up in my mind that, okay, I'm not angry with you because of how you treated me. I'm not angry with you because of what you said and how you doubted me. You know what I mean? Because then what it did is it made me more of a believer in education. So, for instance, like I was telling you, I was raised Baptist, right? And I go to Europe, and there's only Protestant, Pentecostal, and Catholic. And so because my mom went to wherever the best choir was, we had to listen to whatever doctrine they was teaching, right? And so then I was, like, utterly confused because I felt like I could identify with all of them. So that is what made me go and get my PhD in Christian education, because when I did that, we had to live 1 week in complete isolation into the different denominations or the different religions. So for 1 week, I was Jehovah's Witness. For 1 week, I was Catholic. For 1 week, I was Muslim. And so what it did is it helped me to identify what Jennifer believes, not what the Baptist believes, and not what the Protestant, you know what I mean? And so all of this was a form of me finding myself and literally being delivered from people.
Wow.
Yeah, and it cultivated my relationship with Christ. It took me away from religion and brought me into relationship, because the common denominator in all denominations and in all religions is the fact that you have to have a relationship with Christ. In all of them, you can go and you can talk to Christ. Yeah, the Catholic Church, you go and talk to the priest, but the priest talks to Christ. It's still about relationship.
Right.
And so that is what has perfected my walk with Christ, is knowing that I need to have a relationship. And so, therefore, that's what caused me to start J. Gilbert Ministries, because we're not just we're not a church. We're a ministry. So wherever we're needed, that's where we go, and we operate still in the spirit of excellence, which is what Christ ordained.
That makes so much sense to that way. And that makes so much sense. I never thought of it, even though, you know, people are different. You're only different people that's learning. Meaning the people went to the church or the temple or whatever, but not actually learning, from the person that's teaching.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense to go through it that way to make sure, to have a better understanding.
Right, exactly. And it to me, it freed my mind. It made me more open. It made me more compassionate, to where I lack the ability to be judgmental, because I can identify with all of these different walks of life, be it the LGBTQIA community, be it, the Kojic, the Baptist, the what. I mean, it's just, my team is made up of so many people from so many walks of life. And so we all have something to bring to the table. That's why we call it J. Gilbert Ministries, because even though it has my name on it, it still allows, my stylist is still, he's still able to style, you know what I'm saying? And everybody has their own individual ministry, and we bring it collectively to J. Gilbert Ministries, and we do the work of ministry across the world.
Wow. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I don't remember, this is very interesting that I have you on my show, and I don't remember if I reached out to you or you reached out to me.
You had reached out to me with the domestic violence movement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I just thought it was, I think this is, all of this is interesting, and I definitely want to make sure I connect with you often, because a lot of things that I have, that I might be interested in seeing what I could help out. So, you guys can help me out.
absolutely. And we're actually, you're in Georgia, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're actually coming to Georgia on February the 1st. We're doing, right now we're doing a Demolishing Domestic Violence campaign. It's 365. So we started in October, which was Domestic Violence Month, and I literally thought it was just going to be a one month give back to the community. But it literally grew out of control, we saved over 900 people just in the month of October alone, men, women, and children, bringing them out of an abusive relationship into safety. And we're actually, we started a TV show And then on top of that, we do a radio campaign, and then on every fourth Saturday, we do a fourth Saturday fellowship. And then God continued to breathe on it, and so now we're doing a 50-state global tour. And so we'll be in Mississippi, in December, and then February the 1st, we'll actually be in Warner Robins, Georgia.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Well, I just moved from down that way. So, yeah, but I'll definitely come. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll definitely
be there.
Just, yeah. I got to make sure I put it on my calendar.
Listen, don't make me blow up your email.
I know, right?
Right, yes.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely want to come and be nice.
Right.
And network. So I also see that you said you're the CEO of JGM.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, JGM is J. Gilbert Ministries, and we have a nonprofit part, and then we have a for-profit part. The for-profit part is where we do, we have our clothing line, we have books, we have CDs, we do conferences, we do plays, and all of that stuff. And then on the nonprofit side is where we also go in and we do conferences, we do educational forums. The Domestic Violence 365, that comes up under the nonprofit and all of that. And so, you know, we've always been both, but it wasn't until this year that, like, the nonprofit has just taken a life of its own. So we're
right,
kind of moving into that vein. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you guys do with the kids?
What I do is I'm an educator, and I have my PhD in Christian education, but I also have my educational doctorate. And so what we do is we go into inner city communities and we tutor the children for free. And then what we do is we assess them to see where they are, see what kind of issues that they're having in school and things of that nature, and then I build a curriculum specifically for that particular student. And we build them up to where they need to be, you know, especially in, you know, we don't teach them to the test. We teach them everyday skills. We teach them, you know, we teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic as well. But we also want to hone in on, you know, community skills, community service. You don't have to do community service because you're in trouble. You can do community service when you're not in trouble. You can do community service to keep from getting in trouble. And so we basically take children and we kind of cultivate them into that village society that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a group of, you know, we have a group of individuals who come in and they help or whatever. Math is not, you know, that's not my blessed place. So God has blessed me with people that it is. And so we all just work together, and it's under the umbrella of ministry. Because even though, you know, we want to teach most of these children that we service, you know, they come to us because they've been beaten down by the teachers, you know, saying, oh, you know, you ain't smart, you know, you this, you that, or maybe they're single-parent homes, or maybe they're no-parent homes, you know what I mean? They're latchkey kids. And so they don't have anybody to help them with their homework. They don't have anybody to, you know, push them to greatness, to ask them and have an intelligent conversation. What do you want to be when you get older? Okay, do you know what it takes to get to that point? Do you know how much schooling you're going to have to get? These are the subjects that you really need to focus on if this is what you want to be. And so we have real conversations with them about the whole circumvention of life, and it just works. Yeah.
That's so glad that I connected. Now, how did you get with these children?
I work at a school, but I also, you know, I still live. I don't want to say a hood, but I live in an inner city portion of Houston, Texas. And so, we partner up. Most of the children nowadays we're getting from our domestic violence campaign because they've been displaced. And so we have a resident life coach on our team that, you know, talks to them. And we believe we're not one of those organizations that wants to go and get people out and just say, oh, okay, well, you out now, figure it out. No, we actually help you get out. We have three divisions. We have the rescue division where is, you know, when you call in, the first thing we ask you is, are you safe? If you say yes, then okay, that's fine. Then we move on to the retention team. But if you're not, we have a rescue team that is nationwide that will go to the ends of the earth to get you and take you where you need to be or to just take you to safety. Then we have our retention team that basically, you know, links you up and connects you with all the resources that you need, monetary, residential, stuff like that. And then from there, then you go into what we call our rehabilitation team. And that's basically where you get in touch with our life coach and, you know, they coach you into getting back into the game. This is not a loss. This is not, you know, a count out or count out, count down. This is just, hey, now we're going to move you to your greater place. And that's what we do, and we believe in, you know, giving that to them mentally, spiritually, physically. You know, when we come out or when they come out of the situation, the first thing we do, we have an exit plan, which is where we tell them how to leave safely. And then we have the now what plan. So now you're safe. Now what do you do? Well, the first thing you have to do is, you know, take care of yourself. So we, you know, line them up with doctors where they can go and get a full physical checkup from head to toe to make sure, you know, we document any injuries so that we can go for prosecution. And then we also line them up with our life coach so that she can talk to them and, you know, just kind of see where their head is and try to, you know, get them back on track. And so it just it's a cycle that we go through because we want to nurse you back to health.
Wow. I'm so glad you're doing that in the community. It's funny because for some reason, I've been connected with a lot of people that's connected with domestic violence organizations. And just talking to people, you really, like me, I'm thinking about me. I personally never knew that I was in a domestic situation until just speaking to people. And I always tell people, abusive relationships don't necessarily mean that you're getting beat because nobody ever put their hands on me. But, you know, abuse can be financial, it could be psychological, mental.
Absolutely.
So abandonment, right. I mean, all of that could be different type of abuse. So,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm so glad and hopefully. So, you know, I love to help.
You're breaking up really bad. I can barely understand. I'm sorry, what did you say? You were breaking up really bad.
So some people that connect with you, some of these people get their domestic. Well, that's what I was mentioning.
Oh, okay. How would they? Did you say how would they get in contact with us?
Well, that's what I'm actually. Yes, if you can, you know, tell people how they can connect with you.
Well, what we do is we actually go through Facebook. And the reason why is because when they're in domestic abuse relationships, when you use the telephone, it can be traced. So if you have to use the telephone, we ask you to call the national hotline. But if you want to get in touch with us directly, then we'll contact us through Facebook, and then we give you contact information. And we, you know, our whole campaign last month was about education. And so, you know, we are literally saving lives because a lot of people think that they could just leave, just pick up and, you know, one day and just go. And that's not really realistic because that's how people get killed. And so we, you know, we teach you how to safely leave the situation. And so that's how they get in contact with us on Facebook. And then I contact our team, or a member of our team gets back with them immediately. And, you know, we take it from there.
Now, how is your Facebook page?
They can still go through Jennifer Shonuff Bless Gilbert, J. Gilbert Ministries, and we're actually in the process now, since this is going to be a four-year campaign. We are creating a Demolishing Domestic Violence campaign page. We haven't finished it all yet, and we did it on our, we had it on our website, but it kept crashing because so many people were reaching out to it. So we're trying to work it all out and get everything up and running before 2020.
Another, you can hotline. That's 800-99-7233. I'm going to take a quick break right quick, and then when I come back, we're going to open up lines for any questions from Ms. Jennifer. And so we'll be right back after this.
Mary, 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 Dios, Dios, baby, dub, say,
I just want to tell the truth, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just want to tell the truth, man.
Mary, 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 Mary.
Welcome back to Facebook Blog Talk Radio. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. We have Ms. Jennifer Gilbert, Dr. Jennifer Gilbert, on the line today. And she's just talking about organization and how she can help and with her organization, with her organization, Violence Domestic Violence 65. Now, how did you get the name of the organization? What did you?
Okay, can you say that one more time?
The name of your organization, Domestic 365, what do you
How did I come up? I didn't. You're breaking up really bad. Did you say how did I come up with the name?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I was asking how did you guys come up with that name?
Well, as you said yourself, so many people think that when you say domestic violence, the first thing that they think is somebody putting their hands on you. And so many of the people on my team, as well as myself, were not always physically abused. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to seek to distinguish the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships. And we also wanted to educate people on the various types of abuse. And then not only that, but also the warning signs that come before the destruction of experiencing that type of harm. And so that's what it was about. It was about demolishing the domestic violence stigma of, oh, he didn't hit me, so it's okay, or she didn't hit me, so it's okay. And we wanted to show that, you know, not only is it females, but men are also abused, as well as teenagers.
Right.
And so we dove into that and how it doesn't even have to be in a marital relationship. Now they have intimate partner violence, which covers the LGBTQIA community as well as those of us who are single and dating and stuff like that. It's not domestic violence because you're not married, but it is intimate partner violence, which is still a form of abuse as well.
Yes, ma'am. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So can you hear me a little bit better now?
Absolutely, much, 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 much better. I want to start the whole thing all over. I'm just saying.
I know, right? I'm gonna definitely have to. I did not know that it was breaking up that bad. I actually just called in on the guest line because I don't understand it. Well, I have to check that out later on. But yeah, so
right.
I apologize about that.
No problem.
So I want to open up the line right quick for any of the callers to see if they have any questions for Ms. Jennifer and. And then I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
All right, callers, the caller lines are open. We have a 678 number, 713. We also have a 240 number, 404. If you guys want to, ask Ms. Jennifer any questions, the lines are open for you. Okay. So, Ms. Jennifer, let me ask you, what made you, when you started this organization, what was your vision when you started this organization?
Are you talking about the DDV 365, or are you talking about J. Gilbert Ministries altogether?
Well, let's talk about both altogether.
Okay. J. Gilbert Ministries, again, was started because, I grew up in church, and I wanted people to understand that it's not a competition. It's about relationship. It's not about religion. And so what I did when I originally started it, it was to create an umbrella under which I could operate. And so, even though it's not a church, it's a place where I still have accountability partners. I still have people that I'm held accountable to in addition to God. And so, that's what I did is I brought in people and I began to celebrate their ministry. These are people outside of the fivefold. They're not pastors and preachers and deacons and all. It was everybody. And we began to nurture them and educate them on their walk. And that's how J. Gilbert Ministries had got started. And then it just spiraled into all of this other stuff.
Right.
And so what we started, the first book that I wrote is called Church and Ain't Easy. And it took them from, it's called Church and Ain't Easy, What All Church People Need to Know, But Few Take the Time to Tell. And it talks about how you go, okay, now, you know, I'm saved. I don't even know how to assemble because I don't look like them. I don't act like them. I don't know as much as them. Maybe I don't speak in tongues. Maybe I don't have a calling. I just love God. And so it was walking them through that. And then the second book was followed up with And Deliver Us From People, which is, again, you know, walking away from the religion and the tradition and getting into the love of God. And then it just, you know, went on. Then we got into more of a formal setting to where I would start going to colleges and I would teach them about the fivefold ministry gifts. And so, therefore, I wrote a book about it that was actually adopted by Oral Roberts University. And so it just continued to spiral from there. And then it went into music and the stage plays and all of these other things. So,
wow. Well, I'm very interested in learning more about your book. So, and I don't know if you ever noticed that I always advertise other people's books on my pages. And so I would love to, yes, ma'am, that, you know, get a copy of them, you know, read them or, what, you know, even help
Absolutely.
You advertise them. Yes, ma'am, on my pages. So I actually have four different pages that I actually advertise for people on. One of the other pages have almost 23,000 people on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, ma'am. So I'm just, that's what I do. I try to help some of the people with advertising on their books. So, yes, I would love to you know, connect with you with that also.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know that was your vision, but was that your mission and your vision with all you just talked to me about as far as what your
The mission was basically I just wanted everybody to be comfortable in their own skin. I wanted everybody to be comfortable in their own calling and to realize that just because you know, God calls us to assemble, it doesn't mean that we have to resemble.
Right.
Everybody don't have to be a head. Everybody don't have to be a tail. And so this was a safe place where people could actually come and they could operate in whatever their ministry is, as long as it was, you know, God ordaining. And so that's, you know, kind of where it is. And then I wanted to continue to educate people on, you know, religiosity and relationship with Christ. And then it went on into self-help. And literally it became almost like a science experiment. Like I'm going through and I'm traveling the world and people are saying, well, have you ever thought about this? And what do you think about this? And then it, you know, it would jog my mind to the point where now, okay, we're going to write a book about it. And then from that book, then comes other platforms, and that's just basically how it formulated, which is the same way that Demolishing Domestic Violence came about.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
because I had went
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, you know, the beginning of the year, I've always sung, I've always, you know, danced and acted and did all of these things. And so this year, the beginning of the year, I told the Lord, I said, this year I want to do something different. I don't know what I want to do because I feel like I done everything, but I want to do something different. And so, you know, I thought being busier meant that I was doing something different, even though I'm always busy. And so it wasn't until the end of September, literally, like the last week of September, the Lord brought to my remembrance. He said, do you still want to do something different? And I was like, of course, you know. And then that's when he gave me the vision for Demolishing Domestic Violence, the campaign. And it was so amazing that he put people in my path, like, immediately. The first gig, I met the cast members of my TV show, Demolishing Domestic Violence. And it just literally just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled. And so now those people are full-time on my team, as well as, you know, trying to help me with the campaign. And he's just consistently putting people in our path. And now it's, you know, it's growing into this global movement, and God is just breathing upon it. And we just want to take every opportunity that he, you know, that he gives us. And now, even now, he's introducing me to ways of putting all of my other gifts and all of my other ministries, if you would, into this movement. For instance, we have a stage play that's coming up February the 6th that I'm co-producing with Michelle Sharp. It's called Why Don't You Look in the Mirror? And it's a gospel stage play. And a part of those proceeds go back to Demolishing Domestic Violence 365. And so we have sponsors who are purchasing tickets for the domestic violence survivors, and they're going to purchase the tickets for them to go to the play. So it's something we basically, our mission is to teach them that your life has not ended because of the abuse.
Right.
Once you become free, your life begins all over again.
Right.
And that's, you know, well, that's basically what that is.
So we have 3 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you could say anything to the world, and just before you said, I want to let you know that I do want to have you back on my show again. I definitely want to have you back on my show again. But if we have a few minutes left of the show, if you could say anything to the world, whether it's the abuser or people being abused, what would you say to the world?
Knowing your worth is what deters you from the distraction of abuse. Be it you are the abuser, if you knew your worth, you would realize that you don't have to belittle somebody to build yourself up. If you are the abused, if you knew your worth, you would realize that you were worth so much more than the abuse that you're enduring on a day-to-day basis. So it's all about knowing your worth, knowing who you are and knowing whose you are.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful. Well, Ms. Jennifer, Ms. Dr. Jennifer Gilbert, I appreciate you coming on my platform.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I, you know, like I said, you're welcome to always come back at any time you want. So, and I definitely want to keep in contact with you so that I can, I want to be some part of this organization.
Absolutely.
To see what I can do on my end. So,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate you coming on Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. We are on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. That is Eastern Standard Time. And if you're looking for any advertisement, promotion, or interviews, you can reach me either at 240-640-5492, or you can email me at faithfocusfitness at gmail.com. Sorry about that. I got tongue-tied today. Well,
right.
It was a pleasure having you on my platform, and I'm looking forward to meeting with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You too. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be right back.